The savings are scorching during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, everyday essentials, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at omahasteaks.com. Shop now to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tare, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is time once again for No Sleep Teal, program dedicated to discussion involving the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer positioned live on a Friday afternoon at Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue, kind of where Avondale and Fairfax meet, kind of the hot corner of Herschel, St. John's, all that coming together. We are there right now. We've got some great weekend stuff, some football essentials, Evan Ryer, ready for those who are interested. We got some great soups. We've got some entrees. We've got dirty martini dip. We've got pimento cheese, chicken salad. And that's before I even talk about the sweet treats, Ev.
No, that's a spread and a half already. I really wish I had some for the next two days, because it's a pretty good slate, both college football and NFL this weekend. So
it is. Your Alabama Crimson Tide is off this weekend, so it's kind of a stress-free weekend for you, although the Jags will bring enough for everybody, I think, on Sunday with the Texans in town.
No, yeah. In recent years, you know, the majority of recent years, you know, bye week, you know, for the Jags is a great thing. For Alabama, not, you know, it's not as exciting. But, you know, I used to love when the Jags had a bye week just because it meant that I didn't have to be disappointed. This weekend is a big one. This one's a big one, and the Jags got to be able to show up.
They do. They do. No. You're talking about what? Going back to 2017 to find the last time the Jacksonville Jaguars defeated the hated Houston Texans here in Duval at Everbank Stadium, looking to kibosh that streak for the Texans. And it's a desperate Texans team coming in at 0-2 following a couple of tough, hard-fought losses to the Los Angeles Rams and most recently Monday night to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the week. Advantage or disadvantage for the Jags on the back end of this thing with the Texans? I guess there's that perspective of if you're Liam Cohen and this coaching staff, you're able to look at that matchup against Tampa Bay and think, you know what? There's a lot that translates between what Tampa was going to do, given that Liam was there a year ago as the coordinator. Or was it potentially an advantage for the Texans because it's like a 2-for-1 prep maybe in some ways?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe it's a little bit of both. Although, you know, going on the short week, right, having to play on the Monday and then, you know, having, you know, kind of an abbreviated prep for the second game, you know, I definitely think the Jags get a little bit of help there. But yeah, really, if I'm Liam Cohen, I'm like, yeah, that looks very familiar to me. You know, I would be approaching trying to win that game the same way. Although, that being said, if Trevor Lawrence is in the same spot that Baker Mayfield is in come the end of that game, he's got to drive the length of the field, go score. That's probably not where the Jags are going to want to be. That's not exactly their strong suit.
Baker, a little different dude than Trevor. And we'll see. I know this, if you're Liam Cohen, you liked seeing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers rush for nearly 170 yards in that win over the Texans, averaged over 5.5 per carry. So an approach that you anticipate being similar for the Jags, perhaps that's a good thing. Now, the Rams didn't run it all that well against the Bucs in the season opener. I don't think the Rams are really built that way. Kyren Williams, really good back for the Rams, but obviously that's a Matthew Stafford sort of based offense. That's where it's going to start. That's where it's going to end for. And again, though, you can draw the parallels into back to Sean McVay and Liam and a lot of these guys, right? In terms of the lineage of the coaching and even the front office tree. So Ev, storyline still aplenty other than the Jags' lack of success here in Jacksonville against the Texans for an extended stretch now, the return of a couple of interesting individuals. A year ago here at Everbank Stadium, it was Azeez Al-Shaair with the big hit on Trevor Lawrence. Knocked him out of the game, 3-game suspension for Shire. That should be an interesting welcome for the Texans' hard-hitting linebacker. And then also Christian Kirk, the former Jag, now with the Houston Texans. He's been hobbled by hamstring, and so we'll see exactly to what extent he's available, but kind of lines up with some of the issues Christian had his last couple of years with the Jags, just staying on the field in general.
No, yeah, for sure. You know, with Al-Shaair, you know, he wants all that smoke. That's the not that I, you know, it's, I wouldn't even describe him as like a perennially dirty player or anything like that, but he's definitely vicious. He has also been clearly about this weekend because he's changed his profile pic on Instagram and social media to the Joker from you know, the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. So he's, you know, he's happy to be the villain. He's happy to be the, you know, whatever. And with Kirk, it feels like it's setting up for Kirk to have like the most important, like the best game of his Texans career. He hasn't really been a major factor there, you know, obviously with the injury and different stuff, but you know, it screams that he's going to be a big, big part of this game. We know what he can do. You know, I mean, he's a really solid route runner, sure hands, all that different stuff. You would think the ball will be going to Nico Collins. It'll be going to Dalton Schultz, you know, those guys. Mm-hmm. But I'll be looking for Christian Kirk early and often in this game.
Yeah, it's been a relatively – and what worries me, too, is it's been a pretty quiet start to the season for Nico Collins.
Yeah.
This feels like that could be that type of game for him, too.
Sure.
And C.J. Stroud still trying to get back to that form from a couple of seasons ago as a rookie. I thought Stroud was good enough to win Monday night against the Bucs, but they definitely got to get Nico Collins going because that run game, it's a great story with Nick Chubb. I love Woody Marks, the rookie running back, as much as anything because I loved him when he was at Mississippi State. I loved him when he was at Southern California last year. I'm thrilled to see him in the National Football League. But anytime Joe Mixon isn't involved against the Jags, whether it was with the Bengals or now with the Texans, I'm okay with that too.
No, yeah, they're severely limited by the fact that, you know, Joe Mixon's not in the lineup right now because they, at the end of the day, C.J. Stroud's a very good quarterback, but they're also pretty run-dependent. I mean, they are very, you know, focused on establishing the run. So not having Joe Mixon's a really nice thing. You know, Damian Pierce is fine. You know, he's a solid back, but, you know, you're not super worried about him. But Woody Marks, you're right. He has already shown early on that he might be a problem long-term in the NFL. I think it's kind of similar to how the Jags play themselves, right? Like they're going to try to establish the run. They're not going to try and put it all on C.J. Stroud. But simultaneously, you know, like you said, with Nico Collins, you know, kind of due for a big one, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans necessarily air it out early, you know, just to kind of like, you know, an early haymaker, kind of knock the Jags in the mouth, see what that secondary is about. You know, Tyson Campbell had a very mixed bag last weekend, so they might be coming after him.
They could, and as you said earlier, they like to spread the football around. I mean, Schultz, tight ends have been problematic for the Jags. I mean, I saw Kmet for the Bears light them up over in London, making that trip all the way over a year ago to see that in the middle of the field. But you feel a little bit better about that situation for the Jags, given some of the changes at safety and sort of a refortifying, readdressing of the even inside linebacker positions to go along with that. But sure, Nico Collins is 77 receiving yards through two games. He does have a touchdown. Wild. That's the only touchdown pass CJ Stroud has thrown through two games was to Nico Collins. And conversely, you look at the Jags right now, intercepting the football has been a real positive for the Jags. And what you like too, in terms of sacks, getting after the quarterback and also taking the ball away, it's come from different guys. I mean, the Jags right now through two games have four sacks. They're all from different guys. They have what, five interceptions through two games. All of them have come from different guys. So that's the good news. The bad news is when they really needed it the most on that side of the football last Sunday in Cincinnati, they weren't able to get the job done against a backup quarterback.
Yeah, it's a word you never want to use to describe a defense, but soft is kind of how it felt late in that game. You know, right when they needed to turn it up, it just didn't click. You know, there is something to be said too that, hey, if you bring down three turnovers, how many points are you getting off of that? The Jags offense can definitely take better advantage of some of those turnovers. But yeah, that's what is going to be concerning about this game, because I really don't see a world where the Texans, you know, necessarily blow out the Jags. And obviously I don't really see it with the Jags blowing out the Texans. Late in this game, it's going to come down to that defense making a play at some point against a really talented quarterback in CJ Stroud. And we know they have the capability to do it, but can they lock in a way that can actually win that game is something we don't know.
It's a revamped Houston offensive line, which was absolutely dreadful a year ago. But even with that rebuild, that offensive line, CJ Stroud's been sacked six times in two games. So Josh Hines Allen, Trayvon Walker, that pass rush, if they can do what they should be able to do against this run game for the Texans, which isn't anything to write home about, they should have plenty of opportunities to get after CJ Stroud, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of game where you pin your ears back and you just go after that. I mean, I'd like to see a lot of blitzing. We've already seen success with the blitz packages this year, as you mentioned, all these different guys getting sacks. I want to see them get creative in that regard, because while CJ Stroud is not much of a runner, you're not going to just be able to like chase after him all game. He's eventually going to be able to peel out, do what he's got to do. So you're going to need to like not just get to him, but get to him quick. Like, you really have to be urgent with that. And I think this group can do it. Simultaneously, when I think about this, I also think about the current concerns I have going the other way with the Texans pass rush, thinking about, Will Anderson.
Daniel Hunter.
Daniel, that's the thing, is Daniel Hunter's been a revelation since he's gotten.
And even Sheldon Rankins inside can be a disruptive problem. Guy well, at the tackle you speak, spot.
You speak about inside, Jake Andrews, starting center for the Texans, has been questionable this week.
Yeah.
So maybe they're even more inhibited than, we realize. But if that's the case, then kind of looking for a repeat performance from Eric Armstead after he had what I would say is probably one of his best performances last weekend. He's another name that you're going to be looking at, because, again, between needing to get after CJ Stroud and then also just ensuring that Damian Pierce and Woody Marks don't, have big days, that's where a guy like Armstead's going to come in.
Yeah, for the Jags on its offensive line, Ezra Cleveland has been, I guess, limited at best this week at the left guard position. So Chuma Adoga may be in line, because Wyatt Milam has been on the injury report as well, and that kind of leads us into some things on that side of the ball for the Jags, because no other storyline as big coming out of Cincinnati as the status of Brian Thomas Jr. and exactly what is going on there with the second-year wide receiver from LSU. You know, earlier in the week, Liam kind of surprised people when he started talking about this wrist injury, which led to a follow-up of that statement. I think it was D-Rock who came with, well, he wasn't on the injury report last week. And it was probably at that moment that Liam knew he had stepped in it a little bit. But, you know, what exactly is going on with Brian Thomas Jr.? And what can you expect from him this week after the timid at best efforts on multiple balls? And it wasn't just BTJ, because De'Ami Brown had the big drop in the end zone. He certainly could have helped matters himself. But that's where it's been really centrally located, is with BTJ, and just a weird week. You thought last Sunday was weird, and it was. This whole week has felt weird for me with Thomas, because he was on the injury report, but it looked like he was full go, full participation. Then, you know, Thursday he's like limited, you know, new regime. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it will not. I was not going to be surprised even this week if I heard they're moving on from Brian Thomas Jr. I know it's too early. I know that. But without really knowing what the heck's going on with that situation, I kind of got everything in play for him.
Yeah, no, it is weird right now. It definitely feels like his status in this team, his role right now is in question. And then, you know, if someone of that talent, of that kind of even just first year resume, is having if there's questions about the role, then you start to worry about his future. You start to worry, is it in Jacksonville? You know, BTJ did say today that he was good to go for this weekend. He's, you know, no injury worries there, yada, yada. Which also doesn't make it any less weird, right? It's like, how did, like, if Liam Cohen did make a mistake and accidentally, you know, say something he wasn't supposed to, or speak on something, or if they're kind of fabricating a story or whatever it is, it's also weird for a head coach to do that. I know he's a first year head coach, but I mean, generally guys are a little bit smarter about, you know, keeping things under wraps or what have you. But yeah, with BTJ, if he's sticking around, then they have to get it going. I mentioned on Monday that, you know, 4 receptions on 19 targets or something like that right now. I mean, it's really rough. Like, it's just not working. And I don't know necessarily what the solution is to that, other than, you know, kind of changing what he does in this offense. I mean, really right now, Travis Hunter kind of seems like your short to intermediate guy. You're also throwing it to ETN and Tootin a good bit in the short range. So it's really like BTJ deep shots, but where else does he really contribute right now?
You know, it kind of feels like a role that, you know, we've seen Mike Evans sort of undertake in Tampa Bay in a similar offense, right? Sure. I mean, good news for the Bucs was they won the game in Houston Monday night. And they ran it for nearly 170 yards, which is interesting because Bucks ran for 170 against the Texans. The Jags are averaging right at 170 through 2 games, which makes it even offenses. It makes it even harder to believe they're 1-1. I mean, you look at their numbers, especially on the ground, and their takeaways. That's a 2-0 team, right?
It's a 2-0 team.
But we know what happened. Browning. Mike Evans Monday night, 5 catches, 56 yards. You know, but then you look at the backs for the Bucs in that game. Bucky Irving had 6 catches for 50 in addition to 17 carries for 71 yards. In 2025, 23 touches. That's a lot of touches for a running back right now. Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's insane, really, because you just don't see it. Even James Cook last night, he was, you know, the bell cow for the Bills, and he didn't hit 23 touches. But yeah, I think the Jags need to follow that formula. I think there's no reason to put, you know, it on Trevor to find BTJ down the field or any type of deep shot, because over the past 2 weeks, the Rams and the Bucks have shown that the short to intermediate stuff is going to be there against the Texans. So I would be looking at Brenton Strange. Brenton Strange ought to be, you know, involved early and often. And I mentioned on Monday that I want to see Tootin get all those checkdowns, all that kind of stuff, because you get that dude in space with, you know, he's going to beat the first guy. So I want to see that happen. And it's also the best way to deal with the fact that, you know, Anderson and Daniel Hunter are coming after you. The quickest way to deal with that is just to, you know, get the ball out of your hands.
Ball out quick. Yep. Yep. So, and then you also, I mean, you don't want to F around and find out with a guy like Derek Stingley either on the back end. Cause if you do go his direction enough,
even Jalen Petrie, he's really good.
Yeah. I mean, and Kamari Lassiter is a solid player out of Georgia, the Tuscaloosa native Kamari Lassiter. So absolutely, you know, if you can follow that blueprint and rush for 170 plus and kind of let your defense do its thing against CJ Stroud, assuming you're better against the run, the Texans run, which you should be.
Yeah.
If you're the Jaguar defense, lines up pretty well. And in a close game, I we love Cam Little. It's a game that certainly Logan Cook could help the Jags control with his ability. Run the football, feature the backs, the tight end, play good defense, and let your kicking game help you out too. And you know, it should be able to get the job done Sunday against the Texans. With all that being said, though, Evan, you picking the Jags on Sunday, or you thinking this thing might go another year for the Texans in Jacksonville?
Well, it's also worth noting that it's not just the current streak. The Jags have beaten the Texans in Jacksonville twice in the past, I think, 15 years. Like, it's deep, like, how poor the Jags have been against the Texans in Jacksonville. So it's really difficult to pick the Jags in this spot, especially knowing, too, that, you know, the Texans are 0-2, but we know they're not really an 0-2 team. They've had a really, you know, difficult start to their schedule as well. I'm gonna say – it breaks my heart, but I'm going to say 24, like 17 Texans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the big thing here, other than, you know, the Texans having every need and, you know, sense of urgency to get a win here, they're going to be desperate for it. I also think that, you know, we talk about the takeaways over the past 2 weeks. CJ Stroud is not a guy who gives up a lot of takeaways. He didn't give up one last week.
He hasn't. Yeah.
No. I mean, the Bucs defense like did really well against the Texans last week because they were able to get after the quarterback and not because they were able to, you know, pick him off and do all that kind of stuff. I like our group on the DL. I don't trust them to get, you know, more than probably a sack or two in this game. Even against a, you know, untrustworthy offensive line of Houston.
You gave us a score prediction. Give us a Travis Hunter prediction in terms of usage for this week, because the injury report and the issues at wide receiver and corner kind of make that an interesting aspect of this game. Where might we see him the most? Do you still think it'll start on offense? And then Jarian Jones has been dealing with a back issue, although it looks like Buster Brown has been a full participant this
week,
which
is nice,
which could be some good news for that Jaguar secondary.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, 90% of the offensive snaps. I think he's going to be on the field quite a bit. I'm going to say he does crack like 10 to 15 defensive snaps, though, which is continuing to be a steady increase in his role.
Yeah.
You know, they really seemed comfortable with him late in the game on defense last weekend. I don't see why there's any reason why that role won't continue to increase. I mean, shoot, we might see him even get to 20 snaps, but I think, you know, as awesome as it is that he plays both sides, there's still so many people that are like, oh, he's just going to play every down. No, that'll never happen. It's always, to me, going to be a pretty limited role on defense. So I'll say like 15 defensive snaps.
I think an even better question might be, what's the usage rate for Parker Washington this week? After that performance against the Bengals last Sunday, I'm hoping to see more of him on the offensive side of the ball, not just in the kicking game, but you know, as a guy that Trevor obviously trusts to make plays for him. And you wonder about that trust right now between Trevor and BTJ, because it didn't line up for sure up in Cincinnati. I'm going to go with the Jaguars, Evan. I'm going with the Jaguars lines of scrimmage. And I know there's questions about Cleveland going into this game. You don't want to leave those tackles, Little and Harrison, in some one-on-ones with those edge guys. I get all that. But I think the Jags will remain a little more committed to the run game this week and sort of grind it out. Now, you know, I'm always going to go with about three Cam Little field goals. You know that. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go 23-20. They're going to have to earn it. Going to have to earn it. It's not going to be easy. But I do think the Jags get it done at home against the Houston Texans. What about the it's kind of an AFC South weekend, I guess. AFC South Sunday, because you got those undefeated Indy Colts, Ev, taking on the winless. Never gets old saying that, does it? The winless Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of seems like a live execution is about to go down. The way that the Colts are playing right now, I mean, that might get ugly real fast. You know what I mean? We could be looking at like a first half, 3-score deficit. But who knows? Maybe the Colts are just kind of, you know, punching above their weight class right now too. The Titans have played, I will say, like overall, there's been some bright spots over the past 2 weeks. I mean, they did play the Broncos pretty well, but at the same time, I don't know. I guess you could also, you know what? Maybe I'm being a little too high on the horse, so to speak, with Indy, because they had some insane luck to win that game against the Broncos with the last second penalty and then re-kicking.
Field goal was not good, then good.
As someone with the Colts money line, I was extremely stoked about that. I gotta say, that was snatching victory from the jaws of death.
Jonathan Taylor ain't nothing lucky about that cat.
No, he's really
good.
He
went for what, 160, 165 last week against a good Denver defense, right?
I'm not looking forward to playing the Colts later this season, as things currently stand.
That's what I'm not looking forward to now, is because they're going to really, a couple ways, I guess, to look at that. They could have some injuries by then.
Right.
Jags could too.
Yeah.
But if they don't, if they're already looking like they kind of got it together, that could be a team not fun to play. Get late in the season, no doubt about it. Well, Ev, enjoyed it, my man. A great weekend coming up for football in general, as you outlined for us. And we'll be back early next week to review the events of the Texans and the Jaguars. Round one for the 2025 season. Ev's going Texans. I'm going Jags. Leave your pick in the comments. We'd love to hear it as well. Ev, anything else before we get out of here?
No, that's all I got.
Let's do it. Let's get back to it next week right here on No Sleep Teal. If you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, we hope you'll go ahead right now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops here on the channel. And a thumbs up. We like the thumbs up. They help us out too. So for Evan Ryer, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again. And until next week, have a great weekend, everybody.
See you.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.